We are going to begin this series called In the Waiting. We've been talking for the last couple months about what it is to be in God's kingdom and to recognize that God's kingdom has come to earth, but not fully. It's the there and the not yet tension that exists. And so Advent, as Pastor Rick mentioned, is a season of celebrating that Jesus has come, but now he's gone back to the Father and he will come again. And how do we handle in the waiting? How do we handle being citizens and ambassadors of a perfect kingdom on an earth that is still fallen? And to be really honest about that. And the promises that are with us to help us hold on. And not just hold on, but to live abundantly in the waiting. I don't know about you, but I could use a little abundant life, a little hope, a little peace, a little joy, a little love to sustain me in the darkness. Amen? Anybody else? Can I just get a show of hands that would say I need some more of that? Only a few? Oh, okay. The hands are going up now. Our kiddos are like, yes, we do. All right. Yes, we need our parents to have that too. Right, guys? Right. Mm-hmm. Amen. So let me ask, have you ever found yourself waiting for something really important? Like waiting for medical test results, waiting for a college acceptance letter or not, waiting to find out if you made the team or you made the play or you made the choir, waiting, maybe waiting for a proposal, maybe waiting for a job offer. Maybe waiting, for anything that you would hold on to that's important to you in your life, in your moment. And what is the waiting like? Like it used to be going out and checking the mailbox. Now it's checking your email, checking your text, constantly grabbing that phone to see, wait, is it time? Did I get it? Do I have an answer? Yeah, speaking of, I'm just going to set this over here. Yeah, put phones away. So, but just waiting. And it's hard to wait, isn't it? Like, is it just me? I mean, I know it's a redheaded, impatient trait, but I think it's a human trait. It's hard to wait. We're impatient. We're on pins and needles. And it's even harder if a promise has been made. Like, were you ever... As a little kid, did your parents ever promise you some big thing? Like, I grew up with my grandparents in Orlando, and Disney World had just opened, and Disney World's a big deal. And like, when they would say, all right, I think they learned after the first few times, but they would say, all right, on this day, we're going to take you to Disney World. Boy, every day in between, right? Every day, how many more wake-ups? Did y'all teach your kids that? Like, no, we have 4 more wake-ups. We have 40 more wake-ups. Jesus, help me, please. We have 40, right? But when there's been a promise made, whether that's a wedding and you're waiting or the coming of a child, it's just harder. And that's, if we're looking at the context of this, that's where Israel found themselves. God's people had a promise of what was to come, and yet there hadn't been any conversations in between. There was actually a lot of wake-ups, 400 years of wake-ups between when God said this is, or the last time God said the promise is coming, and he spoke again. And this promise of the one who would come was for a nation. And the people waited, and it was actually a promise for the whole world, but they kind of misunderstood it. Anybody ever misunderstand a promise? Right? Or I was an only child, but some of my friends, like Becky, who had 12 siblings, right? The kids would get a promise, and they all thought it was just for them, right? But it was for everybody. And so that's where we find Israel. They have been a nation waiting for a promise. There have been high priests and religious leaders waiting for a promise to come. And there was this young girl who had clearly been attentive to the Lord, and she was also waiting. And that's really where we begin today. So I want to ask if you would read with me, family online. We are in Luke chapter 1. We're going to start out in verses 26 to 28. We'll give you just a minute to get there, our family online, as I head over here and we get ready to read together. All right, everybody got their big voices on? I think y'all are still in a post-turkey coma. Come on now. All right, read with me. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went out to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." All right. I think we read that passage all the time with our church lenses on. And I want to get us into the reality of the moment. People have been waiting 400 years to hear from God. Big, important people. Little, less important people in their own eyes. Less important, not in God's eyes. Everybody's been waiting. And of all the places you would expect God to show up, in all the places, if there was a new proclamation being made, and like all politics aside, there is something about having served through multiple administrations in the military. I can tell you, when you're in the presence of any president, there's something about the office, right? There's just something about the presence of the office that walks in the room, and it doesn't matter who you are. And it's like there's a presidential proclamation to be made, and the POTUS shows up in your backyard to talk to your child. And you're like, wait a minute. Where's the cameras? Where's the press? Where's all of that? Because this angel shows up with this really important message that everybody's been waiting for, and he doesn't show up in the temple, and he doesn't show up in Jerusalem, and he doesn't show up to the high priest, and he doesn't show up to the religious leaders. He shows up to a teenage girl who, for all accounts and purposes, seems to kind of be from nowhere important and not be anybody really important. And in a culture where women were less than esteemed, they were devalued, right? By the way, not devalued by God in any way, shape, or form. There were all kinds of extra laws that were added in the 400 years of God's silence. Isn't that how it happens? And when I say man here, I don't mean men, the male species. I mean mankind, right? We fill the gaps when we can't hear God. We add stuff in. And they had added all this stuff in. And some of that stuff was about other people. And some of that stuff was about women. But it made everything more restrictive. And the angel doesn't even show up to a guy. He shows up to a girl. Girls weren't even allowed to testify in court. What? Like, their testimony didn't count. And that's who God chose to show up to, with a message to this ordinary girl from an ordinary town who held no special value in the world's eyes. And before we move on, I want to ask, have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt unseen, undervalued, less than important? And just like God saw Mary, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. You're not. God sees you, right? Let me not get ahead of myself too much. Maybe in that, or part of that, is because you've been waiting a long time for an answer for God. You've been holding on in prayer for a long time. And what is a no or a wait feels like a non-response. It feels like God's not hearing you and he's not answering you. And you're like, "Hello, God, do you see me?" I was working on this message and I just thought about that book from years ago, from like young teen years. "Hello, God, it's me, Margaret." Like, "Hello, hello, are you there? Do you see me in my need? in my question, in my waiting, God, do you see me? And I want to ask, church, is there something you're waiting for God to give you an answer on? You are not unseen. Let's get back to Mary. Because not only does an angel show up to give her a message, you would think the angel, like in the world's view, the angel would show up and be like, da da da, roll out the red carpet. I am Gabriel. Here I am. See me? No, nobody thinks that would, like, the all-important messenger. And instead, Gabriel shows up and puts all the attention on Mary. And he says, you are highly favored. Because the reality is God knew who Mary was. God knew where Mary was. God knew Mary's heart. And by the way, he knew what her answer would be before Gabriel ever spoke the assignment. And there's something in that, because sometimes I think we want the big assignments from God. Part of why we're frustrated or we feel unseen is because we haven't got the big assignments from God. We want to go do the important things. We want to be mighty warriors in the kingdom. But the reality is God knows our heart, and he knows we're not ready to give him the answer he needs for the assignment. And so what we see is silence is really a season of preparation and a season of training us up so that when the big assignment comes, we're actually ready for it. And so I got to tell you, when he knows you're ready, it'll be okay. You'll get the assignment. But in the meantime, church, Mary isn't the only one. Scripture tells us you are blessed and highly favored. Jesus died for you. Now I'm really getting ahead of myself, so I better get back here. You are one of the very important reasons that Jesus came to the earth, that the angel is even showing up to Mary as we study this text. And so I want to tell you, in the waiting, take hope, because the Lord knows your situation. And you may share it with your cell group. You may share it on a Wednesday night. You may share it with prayer group. You may share it with Pastor Jen. Or you may not. And you may think nobody knows exactly what you're going through, but God knows, and he sees you, and he's there. So we're going to go on in the text, Luke 1, 29 and 30. You are welcome to read with me. I'm going to stay planted right here and hope I'm not blocking the screen. It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. She was greatly troubled. Can you imagine? Would you be greatly troubled? After 400 years, a messenger comes from God? Like, what do you think she's thinking right now? Me? Really? What could God Almighty? Like, again, we can be comical. Can we remember almost every place people encounter an angel, they fall out in fear and terror? Like, she's still standing. I give this girl props, man. She is brave and she is of God heart. But she's got to be thinking, me? I mean, when God shows up like that, what do we do? And so the angel hasn't even gotten to the message yet, but Mary's already really troubled. And in that, you ever had a moment where someone goes to tell you something and they haven't even told you yet, but you know by the look on their face or the tone in their voice that whatever it is going to be kind of earth-shattering? Like, I remember when Rick called me. I was sitting in a cubicle at New Life working, and I got this phone call after work. Now, Rick had been retired from active duty for 12 years, maybe even longer than that. I had no expectation of, he was a contractor on a contract that didn't take him anywhere important. As a matter of fact, after spending a career traveling, there were times in our household, because we had been used to that, where I was like, isn't it time for you to go on a trip again? Like, you haven't had a trip in like 6 months. You used to be gone 24 days a month. I just want the chance to miss you like that again for a day or two, you know? And he me, I promise you. But in all of that, he didn't do any of that. And he called me around 4:45 one afternoon. And there was something in his tone. And he said, we had a meeting after work. They asked us, and I just stopped him. Because I knew, like, my heart was troubled. I knew what was about to come out of his mouth was going to be life-changing. By the way, my Pastor Mo, poor guy, he's like two desks over. He has no idea what's going on. He just hears me say, Afghanistan or Iraq? I get an answer. And I say, 3 months, 6 months, or a year? And I get an answer. And I say, I need to go walk. I love you. Goodbye. Click. And I got up and I walked out because I needed to talk to the Lord. But we all have moments where the call comes or the person walks in the room or our boss shows up at our desk. And we know that something really big is about to come from their mouths. And we know it's going to change us. And we don't even know how, we just know. And if we're honest, then in that, all the anxiety and all the stress rises up. And in that moment, I want to encourage you, like, don't be troubled. God already knows what the conversation's going to hold. God already knows what the situation is. And if it's not from him, he has already equipped you to handle it anyway. And if it's an assignment from him, he has actually gone ahead and specifically paved the path and knows you are ready, and it's actually your assignment. And I want to tell you this, when God interrupts you like that, because whether it's something big with you or a family member or he tells you to move the church you've been at for 30 years, or he tells you to plant a church, or he tells you whatever the thing is, he's not punishing you. He's not doubting you. He's prepared you, and you're receiving an assignment because you're ready. And just like Gabriel, the Holy Spirit is telling you, don't be afraid. Take hope because the Lord knows your fears. Take hope because the Lord knows your fears. Will you read with me Luke 1:31-33, please? You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Can you take off your church lenses for a minute? Say what? This teenage girl who's not even married? Like, stop the presses. Can you imagine what's going through her head right now? By the way, it was illegal to have a child before you were married back then, punishable by death. I'm going to have a child? And even if she doesn't process the order, like, is she thinking, well, I guess Joseph and I are getting married now? Or, but wait a minute, but I'm not even an important person. A throne and a reign and a kingdom forever? I'm going to give birth? Like, even if she doesn't even know the how yet, she didn't even know how miraculous it's about to be. She's just hearing this, and she's thinking, I'm just an ordinary girl, and how often does God ask us to do something? And we're like, I can't do that, God. I'm just an ordinary me. And we're continually looking for God to call the qualified. But God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. So stop disqualifying yourself. Because God's got an assignment for you today. And for me today, and he's got one tomorrow and next week. And the more you say yes to the daily assignments, the bigger the assignments get, the more kingdom impact that they have. But you know what? That's even in man's eyes, because his assignment for you that steps you out of your comfort zone today might be, hey, you're sitting at Clarity and you see someone who looks uncomfortable that you don't know. And the Holy Spirit gives you a prompt to go say hello, to introduce yourself, to buy a coffee for the person standing in line. And you're thinking, that's weird, but you could change their life and their destiny and their eternity with the conversation that you open up in that moment. But so often we say, I can't do that because I'm just. And I would tell you that you are far more than just. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High King. Ephesians 2:10, you are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus to do the good works he planned for you long ago. Before time, he planned them. Psalm 139:13, he knits you together in your mother's womb, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Some of you need freed up right now because you associate anything parental with negative because of the trauma you experienced in your life. And I want to tell you, regardless of your human circumstances, the creator of heaven and earth knits you together in your mother's womb, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You matter. You are worth living for and dying for and living again for by the King of the universe. And you are special. So when what is in front of you seems like too much, take hope, because God knows your purpose. Kiddos in the room, don't let anybody tell you what you can't do, because God created you to do great things. He created you to do incredible kingdom things. And that kingdom is not just on heaven, it is also on earth through you. And so don't let anybody tell you you don't have what it takes, because God says, I made you for it. Amen, church. Can we just amen and let the kids hear that we believe in them? That's right. That's right, you guys. But let's take off our 21st century lenses for just a minute and get back into the moment. At this point, the last thing you heard from this angel, by the way, you're still reeling because an angel is talking to you, a little person from little place and like all of it, right? The angel's talking to you and just told you, you're going to have a son and they're going to be a king and they're going to sit on a throne and the kingdom's going to go on forever. And you're like, whew, let me breathe. And before we even read the next passage, if you're Mary, what are you thinking? Like, how about I'm not married? How about I've never done the physical things required to have a child? Anybody? How about I could be executed if I get pregnant before I'm married? Like, no child can come from someone who's got corporal punishment, like capital punishment, right? So are you telling me Joseph and I are going to get married? Nah, like, I don't understand how. And before we even read, I want to ask, how often do we stop a conversation with God because we don't understand how what he's asking us to do could possibly happen, so we just shut it down? Well, that doesn't look possible. That's not possible. And Mary's like, excuse me, Mr. Angel, sir. And she stands up with bold courage. And she says, how will this be? Verses 34 to 36. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive, because she's like old, y'all. She who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. Now, I got to tell you, I have always admired Mary's courage. But, like, I love that Mary is brave enough to ask the real questions. Like, how often would we feel more prepared if we ask God the questions? Because even if we don't shut it down because we don't understand it, we're just like, okay. And we kind of go, okay, here's my assignment. And we stumble forward like in shell shock, not knowing what to do. Because we're afraid to ask. Like, God already knows the question. Guess what? We don't know the answer, but he's got it. What if we were brave enough to ask God the question? And because she is brave enough to ask the question, she gets the answers. And not only does she get the answers, she gets an encouragement. Because Gabriel takes the time to remind her of a miracle that's already happened, that's begun to prepare the way. See, he says, all right, not only can you do this, and I'm going to tell you how this is going to happen, but I want to remind you what I'm already doing right here that you can see, that's going to encourage you that you're on the path. And so I want to say, church, when God sets something before you that seems so big that you can't see a way forward, one, ask him the questions, but two, start looking back. Start looking around. Because most of the time, even if we couldn't see it until we got the assignment, most of the time when we get the assignment, we can look back and see, oh, look, God did that. God lined that up. And in that, his answers and what he's already done to prepare the way will give you hope. So take hope, because the Lord knows your doubts. And you don't need to be afraid to bring your doubts to God. You'll actually get comforted and answers and encouragement when you do. Yeah, I'm not going to go into what actually happened. I just want to tell you that Wednesday night at 10:30, I got a call. Pastor Rick and I got a call that shook us pretty hard. And I spent hours in prayer. And at first I wanted to be the good little pastor and just pray, God, fix it, just fix it, just fix it. And I wanted to stand on, you're just going to fix it. And gosh, if I'd have been to this point of preparing the message, maybe it wouldn't have taken me as long to get to say, here's what I'm scared of. Here's what I need to know. Here's what I need to understand, God. Here's the situation, and here's what I need you to do. And I don't understand this. Can you explain it to me? And over the next few minutes, as I began to pray the prayers that way, the comfort came and the peace came. And I stopped shaking and I stopped being fearful. And then a few hours later, the answers came, and they were great answers. But catch this, when I was able to give him my doubts, then the fears became quiet and peace took over. So take hope, because the Lord knows your doubts. I want you to read with me. We're actually just going to read verse 37. I'll stop you at a moment. Actually, you sit and listen. I'll read because I know where it stops. For no word from God will ever fail. That's verse 37. And I want to pause here because not every word from God is a promise. Like, we want to think every word is, right? And even when it's a promise, we want to take everything God said and then, like, I will increase your territory. And we're like, oh, I'm claiming that promise, except that promise wasn't for us. It was for that person in that time, in that specific place, right? Like, not every promise from God is for all people at all time. But this says, for no word from God will ever fail. When we see scripture and it says like every or no, the opposite of every, like this always or this not, right? Or it says will ever fail. That's like a stop the presses moment. That's a promise for all people for all time. And God is saying, listen to me. In my word, if I make a promise to you as a people, if I make a promise to you in your prayer closet, if I give you a word, if the Holy Spirit says this is for you and you can count on it, it says no word from God will ever fail. And I want you, as we read that again in a minute, to let it sink in, because believing that promise can take us from how could that ever happen to God, show me the way. Just show me the way. And it takes us from fear and inadequacy to courage and strength and faith. Read the whole thing with me now. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. May your word to me be fulfilled. What a bold statement. See, Mary took hope because she believed the Lord could do the impossible. And if we want to be bold and brave like Mary, then we need to believe that our God can do all things. He is good all the time, and all the time he is good, and he can do all things, and with God, all things are possible. With God, by the way, that does not mean that we decide we want to will this thing over here, and it's nowhere in line with God's word or what he's given us, but we want to claim all things are possible with God. Yep, but God's over there, and you done run over there. So get back to God and see what his assignment is, and all things are possible. Amen, church? Okay, just checking. Take hope, church, because all things with God. Because the Lord can do the impossible. So today, as we look at hope, as we spend this week studying hope, as we talk to our littles about hope and welcome them into the sanctuary, because it's a fifth Sunday, and it's great to have them here. I want to ask, as you look back over Mary's story, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as insignificant and unimportant, or do you recognize that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? You are God's masterpiece. God says you matter. Not only how do you see yourself, but if you're waiting on important news, life-changing news, big news, if you're waiting on the answer, where are you searching for it? Are you seeking the world for your answers? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you seeking his will, no matter what that is? Are you trying to force your will into God's answer? What seems impossible in your life today, because God has either promised to help you out of it if he didn't create the situation or set it before you as an assignment, or he has promised to equip you to complete the thing he's given you to do. And in that, are you placing hope in yourself? Or are you placing hope in God? And with all of that, as we look at what it is to hope, if we really believe that no word from God will ever fail, then can you get your heart to the place of Mary and say, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. The good news in this story that doesn't just remain in this moment but carries forward for us is that while Gabriel is about to depart Mary and depart the scene, Jesus did come. And because Jesus did come, he did bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, not perfectly and completely yet, but through us. And as a believer, you are not only a citizen, but an ambassador of that kingdom. So no matter what you're waiting on in your own life, or if it's just waiting for the kingdom to come fully and Jesus to return, you are not alone. We are not alone. The Lord is with us. And in that, church, we have hope. Amen.